Oh, do we have to do the theme song? Do we know the pitch?
No.
The 1940s, golden age of radio. Whoa-oh-oh. Turn back the dial and stay for a while. The times are a-changing. A podcast new sound, taking it back. Do you hear that? You hear that? You're on a new track. A new track. Welcome to another episode of
Golden Age of Radio.
I'm Richard Templeman.
I'm Kelly Tully.
Back for a special edition of live and in person. If we have less than 24 hours together, I guess we can make a podcast together.
Sure. That's high on the list.
Yeah.
Make a podcast while we're waiting on dinner.
Yes, we are going to eat dinner at the hotel in Washington, D.C.
Yay, Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. Plasma TV in a fancy hotel where they treat you well. Something like that. Today's episode, we're going to be covering an old-time radio show that I used to listen to a lot called Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. I'll give you the brief history. It was a radio drama that aired on CBS Radio from February 18th, 1949 to September 30th, 1962. The first several seasons imagined the protagonist, Johnny Dollar. That's a weird way of saying it. We imagine in the first few seasons that Johnny Dollar is a private investigator. Because he is.
Right, well,
that's what his character is. Yeah. Not a real person.
But we were imagining that.
I'm imagining that he is that. and he's having to solve these dramas, these different insurance cases, in case there's insurance fraud. So he's the one detective that's for insurance companies. So it's a little different than all the other private detectives.
Yeah, it was interesting. So he works for the insurance companies.
Right, and so he has to figure out...
See if people are trying to rip off the insurance
company. Which I think, I think sometimes they do, so he has to be very careful.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
and some people might not like him that much.
No, because he's kind of a bad guy. He's a protagonist for us, but for other people, they're not going to get the money.
The antagonist to others.
And I know at the end of the episode, he always has like an expense report for all the...
Yeah, the expense report. That was very sassy.
Yeah. It's very sassy.
Yeah.
So by 1955, after a year-long hiatus, the series came back in its best-known incarnation with Bob Bailey, starring in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator. And there were 809 episodes.
Oh.
Plus two audition tapes that were never broadcast.
Huh.
That leaves its, in its 12-year run, what we're left with is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So it ran for 12 years. What we have of those 809 to 812 episodes is 720 still in existence.
Okay.
It's not bad.
Not too bad.
I feel like the fact that they even have 700 out of 800 episodes in existence today, good on them.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Cool. That's all I have to say about Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Any questions from you?
No, I'm excited to hear it and see what it's all about. Sounds like it's a interesting show. It sounds like you really like it, so I'm sure I will really like it as well.
Yeah, I like it. All right.
Let's check it out.
We'll bring radio back. Hashtag BRB.
Time now for Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. The next half hour has its baggage packed to take a trip with America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, he's just an expert. At making out his expense account, he's an absolute genius. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Frederick Kimball, General Manager, Fine Arts Insurers Incorporated, New York, New York.
The following is an accounting of my expenditures in the investigation of the stolen portrait of the Duke of Masson, or Who Opened the Season on Canvasback Duke. Expense account, item one, $350, plane fare, New York to London. Item two, $125, replacement, brand new light tan top coat, borrowed and not returned by fellow passenger during flight. We had cleared Gander, Newfoundland, and were 4 hours out, flying at 20,000 feet over the Atlantic, with a knife in the weather, fighting it out to see which could darken sky first. Most of the passengers were asleep, but the rough weather was giving the man in the seat beside me a rough time. Although the plane had leveled off, his dinner was still trying to gain altitude. Among other things, he complained of chills, so I slipped out of my top coat and threw it around his shoulders.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry to be such a bother. I think I'll try a drink of water.
Okay, I'll buzz for the steward.
No, don't bother. She's up forward. Maybe they walked back.
Too far. He stepped out for a breath of fresh air. I didn't think anybody could get sick enough to do that. By the time I got to the back of the ship, the rear seat passengers were milling around the aisle, all of them claiming not to know anything about what had happened. I didn't either. But if my ex-friend hadn't jumped out of the plane, he'd been pushed. And that posed this tantalizing question. If he'd been pushed, and since he'd been wearing my light tan top coat, was I the one who was supposed to be taking that 20,000-foot swan dive into the Atlantic? I looked over the passengers, and to me, they all looked guilty. But I knew they couldn't be. I also knew I had no chance of finding out which one was. When things settled down, everybody started asking the stewardess for sedatives to help them get back to sleep. I asked her for some black coffee to keep awake. By 4 o'clock the next afternoon, I was in good health in London and in the office of your policyholder, Dexter Morley.
Yes, I've been expecting you, Dollar. Your company cabled that you were coming. They're very generous of them to send you all the way over here to help.
That way I have to pad my expense account to make an honest living. Don't ever accuse my clients of generosity.
Oh?
Oh, no. They aren't being soft-hearted benefactors. They're being hard-headed businessmen. If that painting stays lost, it'll cost them $250,000.
Well, I'd better brief you from the beginning.
Oh, if I yawn during your story, Morley, don't mind. I'm just sleeping.
I see. Very well, I'll make it brief, Dollar. Well, during my lifetime, I have developed an overwhelming appreciation for fine painting. Unfortunately, I have not been able to develop the fortune that should go with it. As a result, I haven't only not been able to buy any great paintings, I've not been able to afford to travel to the museums around the world where the great masterpieces hang.
Well, I guess there must be a lot of people stuck in the same fix.
Exactly, and that's what gave birth to my plan. I have organized what you might call the Masterpiece of the Month Club. Its members are 12 of the top museums and galleries in the world. This plan calls for them to rotate their most famous paintings. In other words, if the people can't afford to come to the pictures, my scheme brings the pictures to the people.
Expense account, item three, sixpence halfpenny, London papers. To read while waiting for Miss Harding at museum entrance. You can tell that blonde accomplice of yours I was onto her from the start.
Tony, what do you mean?
What?
Ow!
Don't shoot back! I can't repay you for those three tries you made or had made on my life, Morley. But here's what it feels like being hit on the head with a gun. Yeah, rockabye booby. Muriel, look out, you'll fall. I told you, that's a very undignified way for a lady to enter a room, through a basement window.
Oh, Johnny, I was only trying to help, and there you were accusing me of being his accomplice, after all those nice things you said to me before.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, I followed you. I wanted to see how you were.
Oh, great, you and your criminology. At least you might have stepped in before he hit me those two licks. Look at my head.
Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny. It's just that I love crime.
Well, come on, get up. Would be a crime if Mr. Worley there woke up and I had to put him back to sleep again before the police got here.
Well, what was it all about?
It was about these little black things. I've got a pocket full of them. Here, scrape one of them with your fingernail.
Oh, glass.
Honey, that's the kind of glass a fellow hands his girl when he wants to be engaged to marry her.
Johnny, darling, you mean...
yes, I mean only that they're diamonds. Expense account, item eight, $350. plane fare out of attempted matrimony by the party of the second part. Item 9, $25. Gift to Muriel Harding. 2 books, one on the art of crime, the other on the art of cookery, in the hopes that the latter might attract her to the pursuits of a more womanly hobby. Item 10, 10 cents. Roma Seltzer. Purchased upon landing at Gander, Newfoundland. The only thing still fighting me on this case were those Brussels sprouts I had at dinner in London the night before. Expense account total, $1,563.40. If you find any slight discrepancy in this amount, in my favor, blame it on my confusion and lack of understanding of the international rate of exchange. The only thing I'd like to exchange at this point is my head with its 2 new lumps. Wishing you the same, yours, truly, Johnny Dollar.
All right, we just listened to episode, well, it's episode 30, 49, but I think that means season 3, episode 49.
And I think that might be the...
Oh, shoot. Okay, scratch that. That's it, because that was aired on a different podcast.
Yeah. That guy is the most southern guy from Boise, Idaho I have ever seen. Did they talk like that in Idaho?
No. Well, a little bit.
Please remember, JohnnyDollarAir.com when scheduling your flights.
I was like, oh my goodness.
Let's take a listen to it. And I was like, what? So we got this episode from someone else who had aired the episode on his podcast so we could hear it. But it is called... The Missing Masterpiece. It was a good one.
Yeah, it was fun. So, yeah, I guess there was a masterpiece that was missing.
Yeah, so it was a classic, oh no, where the painting was hung up, it's gone.
Yeah, and oddly, all of it was gone. Yeah. It wasn't cut out of the frame.
Because that's
all gone.
Yeah, if it was cut out of the frame and they left the frame, that's classic art thief.
And it was worth $250,000, which in the 40s was a lot of money. Yeah. It's still a lot of money today.
It's a lot of money.
But, yeah. And he cracked in there that the guy, he probably didn't see a dime of it while he was alive.
Right. You know, I was going to say the exact same thing that his catty remark was. Yeah, it keeps getting $1,000 more lucrative every year that man's dead. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, we get it. Artists don't make money, and then when they die, their paintings are famous. And I thought about that, too, when I was listening to it. I was like, what? Why is art worth money?
Well, it's art.
I know.
It's priceless.
And I love the arts in all their forms.
Yeah.
But I just, in my head, I was like, I don't make a lot of money either doing the artistic things.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, maybe you will when you're dead.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. So then he visits the guy that seeks to benefit from the painting being stolen.
Yes.
And I think that we think that that guy stole the painting.
But it's his painting?
No, I think the old man owns the painting. But the guy, maybe the guy is a part of the museum or art place, gallery, because they have to go through him to do the insurance claim.
Yes.
And so I think the old man is like, well, this is garbage. If that painting's gone, we're screwed. So in my head, I'm like, what, did they put money in the painting? Because he's like, I'm out.
Oh,
so
I see.
Much money.
You thought it was something.
I thought there was something to it because he was like, oh, that painting's gone? Well, then screw it. We're done. We're done for.
Yeah.
And then the guy that maybe owns the art gallery or museum or something, he was like, I don't think there's anything fishy about them taking the whole painting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he was a cranky guy.
And
yeah.
He got slapped by that girl,
yes.
The blonde lady.
Yes.
She's like, and while I'm at it.
Didn't he say something like that? He said something like, let's... check back in with the blonde. Our first person is the blonde lady.
Yeah, because I didn't ever catch the name because he kept referring them by hair color.
Yes.
It was odd.
It was.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. The nameless women in the movie, in the podcast.
In the radio show. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Did you get the ending? I'm kind of foggy on what was going on towards the end.
Well, let's see. As best as I can remember, at the end of the episode, his daughter
Yeah, because that's the other girl in the story.
Yeah, his daughter, the brunette, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, she was secretly together with his sworn enemy, the museum
guy. The mean guy that the blonde lady slapped is with the daughter. Okay, I kind of remember that.
And he got shot?
Someone got shot.
I'm pretty sure it was...
The bad guy.
It was the guy, the museum guy.
Yeah, but he was kind of painted as a... Painted?
Oh, yeah.
As a villain.
He was the bad guy?
I guess so.
But not really, because it was the dad that was... had stolen the painting to make a copy of it. Was painting a copy of it, right?
Yes. So, I don't understand why they had to shoot the other guy. It's okay. In the end, it must have been the old man that stole his own painting so he could make a copy of it.
Yes, I guess so. Yes. And...
because he owns it. He didn't paint it. The guy that painted it is dead.
Because he was like... because I thought it was interesting that in the very beginning of the show, he's like, and I put up $5,000 for reward. That's how serious I am about it. And Johnny Dollar was like, oh, that's a lot of money for you to give away.
Yeah, as a reward.
And it was very like, hint, hint, this is important. Listen to this later.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I thought, I guess that's the difference between television and radio as a medium. Yeah. It's hard to throw out like red herrings or like show something sitting in the background that will later become important.
Right.
So they just have to kind of say it, because I had it like picked pretty early. Not exactly the whole thing.
But that part.
But
that,
yeah.
Who done it?
Yeah.
It reminds me a little of Murder, She Wrote. But like you said, on Murder, She Wrote, they could zoom in on the remote control and be like, that's important. But that's a little heavy-handed too.
Right, yeah.
That they did that. And then in some Murder, She Wrote episodes, they don't even give you enough clues to solve it.
Sometimes in Murder, She Wrote, it's just...
it's bonkers.
Bonkers, and no sane person could guess that.
No, you couldn't guess it. Because Angela Lansbury, Jessica Fletcher, she knows it all.
Right.
So
usually we know it all, and the detective is discovering it, but not with Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
She knows everything.
Yeah, because...
even stuff that we might not have seen.
Yeah, on Murder, exactly. Murder, She Wrote is a whodunit, and then Columbo is another comparative show. That one is how they gonna get caught, because we see whodunit already, and then we just have to see how they get got.
Right, right.
Columbo says,
So it was kind of depressing.
Yeah, that was
but
sad.
I guess that's what I understand, maybe, is that Johnny Dollar was sometimes depressing because he's definitely downtrodden a little bit.
Yeah, he's downtrodden and sassy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, he's like, my expense report, $68. And if you ever ask me to do it again, it will be immensely more expensive. He didn't
exactly.
say exactly that, but he was just like, I ain't doing it again.
I ain't doing it, girls.
So yeah, but it was kind of depressing. So the girl lost her true love that was her dad's enemy.
And then the other girl lost the not true love because it was the same guy.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, I don't know.
Sad.
It was twisted.
So he shouldn't have stolen his own painting.
He shouldn't have, because it hurt in the end.
Everybody hurts. Everybody hurts.
Sometimes.
That's right. If we were to do a modern one, I guess I would just want it to be, maybe I'm just being rebellious. I just want it to be simpler.
Yeah.
Like, it could still be interesting, but I just want it to be super modern.
Yeah.
And, like, phone calls and emails and, like, there could be some home visits and, you know, figuring things out.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I even thought, instead of, like the painting that they held or that he took and hid, if there's something, like, you could hold them for ransom with ransomware, you know, like that's
the
thing that people do now. That saving, I don't know, saving some sort of priceless information. I don't know. Uh-oh.
Our food's here. Perfect timing.
Yay.
All right. Hello? Yes. All right. We're come down. Thank you.
Did you say, all right, we're come down?
Yeah. My words are not all there.
Okay, so we'll think about it. I think that other was rambling there, so.
All right, we'll think about what to do.
About what to do.
And then we'll be right back. All right, sounds good. Well, if you think being an insurance agent is boring, well, you haven't even heard of Judy Benjamins. She is on the case. She is making sure there are no fraudulent claims around. And by the way, because she's so good at her job, they give her an expense report. So she's pretty much the shiz, the top, the Coliseum. She's all of the above. I'll let her introduce herself to the audience.
Hello there. I'm Judy Benjamins. And I have my expense report to turn in to the audience. Expense report for the case of the missing statue.
It sounds like it's gonna be a good one. I know Judy likes to email in all of her expense reports as she goes on her iPhone, because she is that quick on the job.
Quickly sending my email here with my information so that we can get that expense report started. Let me just forward this here and click send.
That's me. Chief person here. Oh, yes. I heard something happened to it.
Yes. It was moved and we don't know where.
It's so interesting because they had security cameras hooked to the internet and they were observing it. So it's like very odd that someone could get through the system, the security system plus the camera system, and move it. It's just so illogical. You're probably the only person who could figure it out.
I think I will try to figure it out. I think I can. My name is Judy Benjamins, after all.
That's right.
And I am here to solve the case. So I think I will start by taking a look at the security footage and speaking to the security officer.
Hi. You must be Miss Benjamins.
I am Miss Benjamins. And who are you?
I'm security guard here at the museum. My name is Security Guard Fred.
Well, Security Guard Fred, what can you tell me about this missing statue?
Well, we monitor everything remotely here in the security office on an off-site location, but it does have a live internet feed to the cameras that are in the museum. And the issue is, according to our records and reports, the camera never cut, and yet in the morning the statue was gone. The statue was gone, but when I looked at the tapes, when I looked at the cameras, there was no sign of anyone entering the building past hours. No alarms were tripped. So if it wasn't an inside job, then it must have been some hackers. I don't know. It's high level. And I keep a good record.
Curious that you keep all these great records and we're the only one here, I guess. It's curious that all of the systems were down for the 3-hour period that was in question.
Yeah, I would say from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. That was the times where I was observing the cameras and there was nothing amiss. It was only in the morning did it show anything different.
I see.
Well, Well, I would also like you to look into the museum curator. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but he's definitely shady in my book. And he had all the codes too. So I had the security codes, so does he. And so that's my first theory. It could be an inside job, but if not, I think it's hackers. So maybe go to him, see what's up.
Okay, I will. But it is curious. Curious indeed.
Well, thanks. Good to meet you.
Likewise.
So, what seems to be the problem, Miss? You said your name was...
Judy Benjamins.
Miss Judy Benjamins. I don't understand. I literally am the curator here, so any stolen art pieces that are worth millions of dollars would be a liability for me and my job. So if you're asking me questions, makes me think I'm a suspect, which would be ridiculous.
Of course not. Of course not. That would be so silly. Or would it?
Yeah, I also think it would be silly. I also think, you know, did you check security at all?
I checked with security.
Oh, Fred?
I still need to look at the footage, but yes, security guard Fred.
Now, security guard Fred and I might not get along, but at least I stay in my lane, and he stays in his, and he does a good job, even though I don't personally like him.
I see. You don't like Officer Fred, but you two work together well. That's curious as well.
Yeah. Since he is off-site, it seems to be that we each get our jobs done separately, but without me doing my job and him doing his job, together we couldn't get it all done.
Thank you. You have been very enlightening.
I hope so.
Indeed. Dear Chief, I've been having a hard time cracking this case. The security footage has been hard to find. And I'm just looking for the right clues, but I think we're almost there. I think that I will check the back code for the security to see. I have a feeling this was a team job.
Dear Judy, this is the Chief. I just got your message, so I wanted to tell you, keep up the good work. And also, if I'm not being too forward, I really liked your outfit in the office earlier today. But if I am being too forward, I apologize. But I just wanted to put it out there that you looked like you were dressing for successing. And that's all we ask for here at the office. Here at the Bureau of Investigations for Insurance, Fraudulent or Otherwise. Sign the Chief.
Deleting that sexist comment. But it's okay. Moving on. Let's just get in here and look at the codes behind the scenes. And what do we have here? Just as I thought. I think we better go have a talk with that curator and security guard Fred.
Why are we all in the same room? I don't really like Fred.
I know. I'm not a really big fan of Curator Jim either.
Curator Jim and security guard Fred. I was able to get into the back channels of the security code. And guess what I found on tape?
Well, I don't know. Anyone who's on back channels has to be some kind of hacker.
Or someone who has access to the files.
I don't know what you found.
I also don't know what you found.
Well, I'll tell you what I found. I found security guard Fred's wife and Chief Curator Jim's husband in the museum after hours, moving that statue.
Oh my gosh.
Think that this was a team job, and you two just blew it big time.
Well, here's the deal. We don't want to go to jail, so please don't send us there.
I guess we don't have to take you to jail because they just moved it into the next room. I can't believe we didn't catch that earlier.
So, okay. Thank you.
I also don't want to go to jail if that's on the table still. That's an option. I also don't want to be going to jail.
I think we're okay. I think this will be okay. Don't let them in anymore. And we're on to you, and we're going to have a backup security system, back channel.
Okay.
From now on.
You can, okay, I'm sorry. I just want to say the only reason we were doing it is because we've been hard times for us. We've just been having hard times.
And also, my family has been having difficulties as well. So we concocted this plan.
And in the future, we won't try to swindle the insurance company, I promise.
Okay, I think you better get your priorities in line, and I think you should try not to defraud the insurance company who is just trying to insure your company and have them make money. Safely and securely.
Thank you, Judy Benjamins. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, ma'am.
You're welcome. Dear Chief, I'm writing to tell you that the case has been cracked and I'm submitting my expense report. Expense report, clicking on some computer keys and Skyping with the security guard and the curator. 2 hours of work, $6,048. Goodbye.
And that's been another episode of Judy Benjamin's Insurance Company Investigator. You thought it would be boring, but really, it's not that boring. And it's really fast. Faster than what probably people did in the past. We don't know. We only cover the now and what's happening now. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week when Judy runs across some individuals who are probably trying to scam the system again. Bye.
I will be on the case, and I will get them always. Bye.
Well, what'd you think, Kelly?
I think it was an episode.
Uh-oh. I hope sound effects and musical cues will make it sound great.
I bet it will. You are a whiz, and I'm sure it was fun.
Yeah.
Was fun to do, and I'm sure it will be fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried anymore.
But it was fun. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed
it was a good show.
Talking with you. It's been fun to do this in person again. Yeah. I've missed you.
Literally, it's our less than 24 hours together. We got to fit in a podcast.
Yes, that is dedication to you guys, our fans.
Yes. We love you, fans.
We love you.
We love you. Da, da,
da. Do, do, do. I love you.
And my dad said, oh, I love you.
Not trying to say we've gotten sidetracked.
Oh, yeah.
But perhaps a bit. Yeah. This is not the musical theater hour after all.
Maybe that could be our sequel podcast.
Maybe. But today, let's just stick with the second
golden age of radio.